This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. With labor markets and supply chains rattled by pandemic, how has Whole Foods weathered the changes? Last week, I spoke with John Mackey, Whole Foods CEO, about how the pandemic has changed his business and what this strange event means for retail going forward.
How has Whole Foods weathered this pandemic?
The pandemic, of course, has been difficult for everyone. It's been difficult for food retailers. I mean, we've had to sterilize everything and social distance and mask, and that went on for a long time. But of course, we were also an essential business, so we had a lot of our business actually increased during the pandemic, and because Amazon put such an emphasis on home delivery that we really saw that part of our business significantly grow. But we had to shut down our prepared foods. We had our prepared foods drop initially over 75%, but that was made up by very large increases in our grocery, produce, meat, and seafood sales. And I might add beer and wine sales too.
Yeah, and with the with Amazon in the Whole Foods business, you had a transition already to delivery that was underway.
Yeah, from the first day that our deal closed, they put a real emphasis on scaling up delivery. So that ended up being prescient in terms of I can't say we were ready for it when COVID happened, because our sales, we had such an increase in sales to delivery that we couldn't handle it initially. We didn't have enough people working on delivery. We didn't have enough drivers. We didn't have enough pickers. We didn't have the systems themselves could not handle the order loads that were coming in. But Amazon has a lot of resources. They threw the resources at it, and we fairly quickly, within a couple of months, got up to speed.
What would surprise people about how your supply chains were altered?
Well, of course, everybody knows the story that hand sanitizers and toilet paper were quickly out of stock. But we had, again, our prepared foods is a big part of Whole Foods Market's business. And our salad bars and our hot bars and all our self-service venues, those were closed down. And the offices were closed down. So we a lot of the lunchtime traffic that we were used to getting just disappeared. I kept reading articles about how Whole Foods traffic counts are down, so the business must be way down. And traffic counts were down is true, because we weren't getting that lunchtime trade, but we were getting huge baskets, and the delivery went way up. So overall, our sales went up significantly during this downturn, despite how the media tended to report it, since they're always looking for bad news about Amazon they could make a big deal out of. The news wasn't bad there. It was just hard on our team members to be, they were scared like everybody, and until the vaccinations came along. And now we're beginning to return to normalcy, meaning we don't have these loads of, we used to have, a lot of cities would limit the number of people we could have our store at one time, so everybody could social distance. So people would be queued up trying to get into our stores. And that's never happened before. That was very bizarre. And they had this amount of money we spent on sanitation of everything in our stores, the grocery carts, for example, and the cash registers was very time consuming, very expensive. It's good that that's passing now. I would like to say it's passed. I thought it was passed. But now we've seen, for reasons I don't understand, people have stopped getting vaccinations, or that's really slowed down, and we're seeing these variants come out, and cities like LA are requiring mask wearing again indoors. And so just when I thought we were done with it, we're not.
I was about to ask, as we hoped a month ago that we were coming out of this and it was going to be relatively smooth sailing from here on out. In watching the employment picture in the United States and the needs that a place like Whole Foods has that been a stress, and what do you attribute it to?
Yeah, labor markets are very, very tight. it's very peculiar because unemployment rates are not low, but finding people to work is very difficult. And there's a lot of competition for people that will work. So we're understaffed and pay rates are going up, trying to, you're competing to get workers. What do I attribute it to? I attribute it to all this government money sloshing around in people's pockets, and they're not needing to work. So they're not. And as a result, we have the paradox of relatively high unemployment rates, but workers being very scarce. So, but I could be wrong about it, but that's what I attribute it to.
Going forward within the business, is there anything that is permanently going to change? I always thought that the prepared foods like food bars and that sort of thing might just go away.
No, we've reopened those and they're doing pretty well, but they won't return to their former sales volumes until offices widely open up. And that will probably occur this fall because a lot of people are still not opening their offices. And they may never get their offices back to quite where it was because a lot of people will continue to work some days of the week remotely or on Zoom. And so we may not have that same density of people, but we've had a call back to office at Whole Foods in Austin. We're only requiring people to be in the office a couple days of the week right now, but people are excited to be back, even though some people are scared. It's amazing how frightened everybody is, or so many people are frightened. It's, I have a different perspective. I mean, I got vaccinated. But in general, I just think risk is part of life. And viruses are, we've been co-evolving with viruses our entire existences as human beings and before we'd have gotten to the human being stage. So you cannot hide from viruses. And they're still going to be waiting for you when you come out of hiding. They don't go away. So
then you might be weaker in the process.
You will. And that's one of the interesting things is that our immune systems need challenge. And I've been reading recently about children now are getting very sick because they've been hidden away for a year or so. A lot of them haven't been in schools and they haven't had their immune systems face the rough and tumble viruses and bacteria and fungi that have co-evolved with us. So apparently we sort of need to have those things in our lives to a certain extent. So it's a very bizarre time. There's no doubt I've never in my long life, I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime. I can remember when I was a very little boy before the polio vaccination had actually been invented. And I remember in the summers, these polio panics would occur. I grew up in Houston where mothers would lock the kids indoors and swimming pools would be closed. People were just terrified. And I had people I went to school with that got polio that had the shrunken legs and the shrunken arms and some that died. So this is the most fear I've seen since those polio days, except it's everywhere, not just in a localized area.
Yeah. Given that fear, do you think retail is going to be fundamentally altered by this event?
I think it's accelerated more online shopping. And a lot of people have changed their habits and they'll continue to buy more things online. I don't think food retailing will fundamentally change because the truth is that picking and delivering for people is quite expensive. It's being subsidized right now. It's not in a way that it's pay for itself. And eventually markets will be putting fees onto the delivery and they won't be subsidizing it. And the people that some people, a small percentage of people don't care what the delivery costs. They value their time higher than they value actually their money. So time's more valuable than their money. So that they will continue to get a lot more deliveries, but other folks will drift back into shopping for food in the stores. Lots of other things though, people have gotten used to buying things online at Amazon and other online retailers. And I think some of that'll be a permanent loss, meaning people's habits have changed and they won't necessarily change back. But I mean, restaurants are going to fully return and movie theaters will as well when people begin to feel safe again, because people like going out. They want to be with other people, where people They don't want to hide away in their homes all the time. I really think people think there's going to be some lasting change. I believe we're mistaken. I believe that that the same things that drove people to go to restaurants before, or go to bars before, or go to movie theaters before, or Broadway plays, as soon as people feel safe, they're going to go back to doing all those activities, because it's part of what makes life worth living.
I will say this. For my son's birthday, he's 3, recently we gave him a cupcake on which to blow out a candle rather than a whole cake.
Does that mean that he didn't have a party is what you're saying?
No, we did have a party. That's the funny thing. We did have. We went ahead and had a party for him.
Well, it's probably healthier for those other children not to get a big piece of cake. But how did that one cupcake get divided with other children?
No, we just gave him the one cupcake. And then everybody else got regular cake.
So there was another cake.
Yes, that's right. That did not have my son blowing on it.
Oh, I see. I know. I understand. But what we know about this virus is that it's a virus that you need to breathe in. It's airborne. All the paranoia about touching things turned out to be unnecessary.
Let me ask you a related question then. A whole lot of what I have seen as response from businesses to the pandemic has seemed like a good faith effort to comply with the law rather than attempting to behave in a way that was consistent with available knowledge at the time.
Yeah, I call it, a lot of behavior is like a totem. It's like a superstitious ritual that people do to help. And then people are scared, and so they do something ritualistically that helps them feel safer. And it's the same thing about that might be from doing a rain dance, or not walking under a ladder, or knocking on wood. And it's a totem. It's a little thing that we do. And I think that's true of most mask wearing, because I think if you're just wearing a cloth mask, it's providing very little protection for you or anyone else. Maybe if you have an N95 mask on, but if you ever wear one of those things, there you can't breathe. It's most people aren't willing to do that. So there's a lot of just sort of ritualistic behavior to help people feel safer, because people are so many people are so scared.
In the business world, they don't necessarily care what's driving the concern. They just want to address it.
Well, and business has to respond to markets as they find them. If most of your employees are scared, you do what you can to make them less afraid. Or if your customers are making demands, there's also a lot of scolding that goes on because people want to tell other people what to do. So it's amazing how quickly fundamental liberties went away, they've been much slower to return than I would have expected them to be.
What's the role of the private sector in assuring that customers are confident that everyone that they're sharing space with has been vaccinated?
I don't know. That's a very difficult one. The main thing is to get vaccinated yourself and then go about living your life again. And the virus is going to be here, and it's just not going to go away. It's going to mutate. It's going to do what all viruses do, and our bodies will eventually adapt to it. And generations from now, COVID will just be another virus that people have come into contact with, just like the flu virus. I mean, I haven't had the flu in 30 years, but totem, knock on wood. But that doesn't mean I'm not exposed to it. It just means my immune system recognizes and deals with it. And I think one of the major takeaways is how important it is to keep yourself healthy, keep your immune system strong. And one of the things that has not been well reported on this particular virus, because it's not very politically correct, is how many people the statistics I've read say like 80% of the deaths from COVID have been for people over 65. And gosh, almost all of them had underlying health conditions. It's a very high percentage, and well into the 90s had underlying health conditions of diabetes. I think 40% of the deaths people had diabetes or heart disease or just obesity and just compromised immune systems that were unable to deal with the virus. So the takeaway is to get healthier. And I found it very interesting as people kind of went one of two ways during this COVID lockdown period. Some people said, I'm going to get super healthy so I can, and they got out, they exercised more and they walked more and they ate better and they got healthier. But a very high percentage of people, I think I read that the average American gained about 27 pounds during the COVID period. And we were already, Americans are 70% overweight and 42.5% obese. And I that's before COVID. So I don't know what it is now. I'm sure it's much worse. So I guess it's a shame because that's just making us more vulnerable to this disease. And we should be trying to get ourselves a lot healthier. That's what I decided to do.
John Mackey is the CEO of Whole Foods Market. We spoke last week. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.